means is that gold should not have a major correction, anything, you know, anything bad from this point on. I would own gold. I would own your favorite gold stocks. I don't care whether it's allocated. I mean, I'd rather you have gold allocated to you. I would really pay very close attention to silver, because that's, in for the time being, is the best of both worlds. It's both a monetary metal and an industrial metal, and China's been accumulating that for years. So I think that that could be, you know, just an incredible skyrocket, etc. These are the times where you have to protect your family, because who knows what's going to happen. And the way to do it, Eric, is to own these precious metals. And it's, and the evolvement to this new monetary system, it will happen naturally. In fact, it's happening right in front of your eyes right now. I will leave it there. Again, for the sake of your families, for the sake of yourself, you have to own these monetary metals and other commodities too. I mean, don't leave them out. But first gold, then silver, or silver and gold, I don't care what order, but you've got to have them for the sake of your families, for the sake of yourself. And if we do these things right, it could be great times for America again, too. I mean, that's the thing. It's up to us to make the right decisions. If I'm praying that we do. I love America. But we could still blow it, and blow it big time. Hopefully we won't. In the meantime, whether we do or we don't, you own your subscribers, your listeners, et cetera. You please, please own some gold, some silver. You have to do it for the sake of yourself and the sake of your family. I'm sorry to get so excited and emphatic about this, but I just believe everything that we see right now, to the extent you can believe it, or the extent you read between the lines, it just says gold and silver. Those are the headlines. And take advantage of them. And, you know, God bless.
Joining us now is Dr. Stephen Leib, founder of the Gleib Group and author of the book Red Alert. Stephen, there's so much happening across the globe, but we always cover gold, silver, China, and obviously we have the endless money printing in the West with the QE, which is QE infinity, basically. Can you kick this off however you want to start this interview?
Yes, Eric. I mean, you sort of put your finger on exactly what has been happening, and what, you know, has been happening basically since the crisis in 2008-2009 sort of took a breather for a while, and now it's come on again big time. And basically, my belief as to how this is going to end, it will end with a gold-backed a gold-backed basket of currencies. And it will take gold to, you know, unfathomable levels, because we'll need, you know, there's only so much gold, and we'll need it to be worth a lot more in order to back all the transactions in this world or in the East. One thing I'm not sure of is whether or not the East and West can ever cooperate with one another. I pray, literally pray, that they can. I mean, that would make everything a lot better, a lot easier, and it would give civilization a lot longer, or a lot more breathing room. But I can't guarantee that. But what does appear to me right now is that whatever they call it, SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19, basically has had dramatically different effects on the East and then on the West. And I'm not just talking about China here. In fact, exclude China for a second. If you look at all the Eastern Asian democracies, and you look at how COVID has affected them, you will see that the death throughout all those democracies, from South Korea to Japan to Singapore, etc., the number of deaths in those countries is not as many as the people that have died in New York. They have 220 million people there. They have basically very, very few deaths. if this had just occurred in Asia, no one would have even paid any attention to it. But it didn't. And for whatever reasons, I don't know whether it's fate or there, it was something malicious, it was or accidental. I have no idea why. I just know that's what we're dealing with. So this basically is going to give the Asians, which are now led by China, a major chance to really further their growth, developing countries. Growing developing countries is going to take a lot of commodities. That's where commodities are used. I mean, if you look at a chart of copper, you see per capita copper use, for example, going up. And then when you reach a certain point in terms of income per capita, it starts going down because you've used it. You've built the houses. You have the air conditioning, et cetera. Well, Asia, by and large, or developing Asia, BRI, the Chinese project for, you know, developing all of most of Asia, et cetera, those countries, by and large, are poor countries. They don't have air conditioning. They don't have a lot of roads. They don't have a lot of infrastructure. There is a demand, a call on commodities, which is just absolutely massive in order to develop these countries. And that's what you're going to see. And that's what will drive, in my opinion, the gold price. And I have felt for a long time that basically we are transitioning. I mean, you saw the oil benchmark was initiated in China, and it basically is a price setter for oil in the eastern part of the world right now. And you've seen, you know, other things and other commodities that are, you know, being set where their prices are being set in China.
Stephen, talk about how this transition will work that you talk about, where the Chinese will come up with a gold-backed currency. How will that unfold?
The U.S. is spending and printing, as you said, QE infinity. All these dollars are being printed out there. The result will be a continuing pressure on the dollar. What are we going to buy from the U.S. at this point if we're not really back to work? I mean, what do these countries need all these dollars for? That's why you're starting to see pressure on the dollar as we're speaking. And at the same time, you're going to see upward pressure on gold. Basically, what we did in sort of in describing gold, if you want to time gold or know what's going on with gold, I don't know how I would describe it, but you could say gold is motivated or informed by this expression: gold are Goldilocks. If you have deflationary events, gold is great. If you have inflationary events and worries about inflationary scarcity, gold is great. If you have Goldilocks, like we had in the 1990s, where, you know, commodity prices are basically steady and the economy is growing, gold is awful. And, you know, we've had a little bit of each since the 1970s. The 70s were inflation, and recently we've had a couple of bouts of deflation. But what you saw with COVID, I mean, it was almost unbelievable. You went from a deflationary environment. That was why you had that huge spike in gold in March or somewhere around there. I mean, you know, gold went up. And then it started flattening out, even going down a little bit. And then all of a sudden, commodity prices started going up. If you look at the performance of different assets since the market top, what you'll see, S&P has done obviously pretty. It's done okay. It's still a little bit below its high. But what's above where the market was? Copper, stocks like Rio, which is a diversified commodity stock, and also gold, which has been the best performer. Because gold, there was this transition that was, you know, it may have lasted 2 weeks between deflation and inflation. There was almost no gap. Usually there's maybe 6 months of a gap. I was expecting, you know, 6 months of really kind of, you know, yucky gold performance. I don't think that's going to happen now. I think that the East will continue to motor along. That will continue to drive commodity prices higher. Gold right now, I believe, is being driven by inflation being and potential scarcity in particular. When I say inflation, I'm really talking about commodity inflation. I'm not talking about the doctored numbers that pass for the CPI, et cetera. Forget about that. I want things that you could actually, you know, where prices are actually recorded, like copper. I know exactly where copper is trading at today. I don't know what the CPI of 1 or 2% means. I don't think anyone does because they're constantly changing the baskets, but that's a far different story. Commodities have started to rise, and commodities, by and large, have outperformed stocks. At least since the market top, and they're ahead of where stocks are. And basically now gold is taking its cue from commodity prices. And as long as China and other Eastern countries are going to develop, you are going to see this kind of thing happen. I mean, you're going to see scarcities in commodities, energy in particular. I mean, I give you one example. I just did an article on air conditioning. If the world basically had as much air conditioning as the United States has, we wouldn't have anywhere near enough energy. I mean, it would take every drop of energy we have, solar, wind, oil, natural gas, to supply that air conditioning. I mean, that's just an example of what growth in the developing economies will mean. There's a company in Japan right now which is starting to rent air conditioning to Africans that recently signed an agreement with another country where they're going to start renting air conditioning in Africa. I think the market there is tremendous. And if you want another clue, and here I can mention it because everybody's aware of it. Look at Tesla. Everybody's looking at Tesla and just scratching their head. The stock went up 3 or 4 fold. You know what the catalyst for that was? When they opened their factory in China, car sales, electric car sales just took off. That's a tremendous call on copper. That's a tremendous call on commodities. And it also shows where the East is going. They basically are going toward, you know, using commodities to, you know, save on energy, doing all sorts of where commodities are driving growth in the East. Less so in China, incidentally, than, let's say, in India and other countries, but still a lot in China. China's importing right now record amounts of oil. I can't believe it myself.
Stephen, what does this mean then for the gold market going forward? How do you see it trading?
Basically, I don't think you're going to see gold. I mean, look, gold, I can't say it's not going to go down 5% or maybe even 10%, though I doubt the 10. Gold right now is in a protracted uptrend unless something really extraordinary happens. Okay. I mean, that, under these circumstances, game over. It's over right now. You're watching it. You know, basically, you're watching the change in the world unfold. And the result of this, after a certain point where the dollar gets cheap enough, where gold gets high enough, it'll be very natural to just gravitate into an order where you have a basket of currencies and you have, gold-backed. I mean, because if it's not gold-backed, if it's not backed by something that's finite, I mean, think of what will happen if everybody in the world, in the developing world, all of a sudden wants air conditioning, and how are you going to ration the energy? How is that possible if basically all you're doing is printing money? It's going to be a battle for who prints the most money. And, you know, the East is saying, looking at the West, it's like, we can't allow this to happen. I mean, you know, it would give the dollar as a reserve currency. All you do is print more and more, and the United States could have whatever they want. That just won't stand, I don't think, as a way of doing things. I think it'll be a very natural evolution, and it will happen, and you could make a tremendous amount of money, in my opinion, right now. Buy your gold, own it, hold it. I don't think you're going to see a major reaction. If you do, I'll just say, well, I didn't really see that coming, and I'll try and figure out what's happening. But the way I look at the world right now, commodity scarcity is on the table. Gold is no longer reacting to fear of deflation. Gold is reacting to, you know, massive number of dollars being printed, like infinite, literally, it could be, and commodity scarcities that are already developing. And COVID, incidentally, doesn't, you know, it accentuates, exacerbates those commodity scarcities, because how are you going to produce a lot of copper if you've got, you know, COVID interfering with workers mining, et cetera? But already you're seeing that the copper mines in Chile are producing more than they were last year. That's extraordinary. We have a record depression and a recession depression in this country. In some ways, it might be worse than the Great Depression. Yet copper production in Chile, the largest copper producer in the world, is up. China's GDP wasn't up quarter to quarter. It was up year over year in the second quarter, you know, despite, you know, having closed down the economy, et cetera. And you're going to see, you know, these pieces have fallen into place. And the evolution into a gold-backed monetary system is falling into place. It really is.
Stephen, what does that mean as you see it going forward?
Eric, what this means is that gold should not have a major correction, anything bad from this point on. I would own gold. I would own your favorite gold stocks. I don't care whether it's allocated. I mean, I'd rather you have gold allocated to you. I would really pay very close attention to silver, because that's, for the time being, is the best of both worlds. It's both a monetary metal and an industrial metal, and China's been accumulating that for years. So I think that could be, you know, just an incredible skyrocket, etc. These are the times where you have to protect your family, because who knows what's going to happen. And the way to do it, Eric, is to own these precious metals. And the evolvement to this new monetary system, it will happen naturally. In fact, it's happening right in front of your eyes right now. I will leave it there. Again, for the sake of your families, for the sake of yourself, you have to own these monetary metals and other commodities too. I mean, don't leave them out. But first gold, then silver, or silver and gold, I don't care what order, but you've got to have them for the sake of your family, for the sake of yourself. And if we do these things right, it could be great times for America again, too. I mean, that's the thing. It's up to us to make the right decisions. If I'm praying that we do. I love America. But we could still blow it, and blow it big time. Hopefully we won't. In the meantime, whether we do or we don't, you own your subscribers, your listeners, et cetera. You please, please own some gold, some silver. You have to do it for the sake of yourself and the sake of your family. I'm sorry to get so excited and emphatic about this, but I just believe everything that we see right now, to the extent you can believe it or the extent you read between the lines, it just says gold and silver. Those are the headlines. And take advantage of them. And, you know, God bless.
Dr. Stephen Leeb, founder of the Leeb Group and author of the book Red Alert, thank you for joining us on King World News.
Again, Eric, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. As always, I love doing interviews with you, and, you know, all the best to everybody that's listening and to you too. Thank you.
Be sure to tune in as we will continue to release interviews with the top people in the world throughout the week. Also, make sure to check out the King World News blog.
I'm Greg Hunter. Welcome to USAWatchdog.com. A real treat. And to come on and explain what's going on with gold and silver and the pricing and delivery and who's got it and who does it and who's exposed and where are the prices going is Alistair MacLeod. Alistair MacLeod, gold expert extraordinaire. Alistair MacLeod, thank you for joining us today on USAWatchdog.com.
That's my pleasure, Greg.
Okay. So you'd be a buyer. I asked this to Nomi Prince about a dollar ago on silver and about 50 bucks ago on gold. And I said, so you'd be a buyer right here. And she's, yes. And she's not really a gold person. She just like, yes, with all the money printing. It basically, she said, yes, I'd be a buyer right here. Because, you know, they've told us they're going to blow up their balance. They've told us they're going to just blow their balance sheet. So
exactly.
So you'd be a buyer right here. I mean, this is a no-brainer. I mean, you would just, if
it's
you
a complete
could get
no-brainer. I tell you, Greg, I run my life in gold. I have as little fiat as possible. And since the end of 2015, this has actually worked extremely well for me. Thank you very much. And I see no reason to change my approach to money at all. I mean, I just release whatever money I require from gold into fiat in order to cover my day-to-day spending. And that's the only relationship I have with fiat.
How can people find you? You're a pretty prolific writer. How do people find you? How do people follow you?
Well, I'm head of research for Gold Money.
That's right, with James Turk.
Is
Turk still in the? Is Gold Money?
Yes.
Is Turk still in? Okay, good. I like him. He's a great guy. He's a fantastic. Go ahead.
Absolutely. He really is, and very knowledgeable too. Actually, I mean, he sort of hides his light under a bushel a bit, but he is extremely knowledgeable. So I'm head of research for Gold Money, and that's goldmoney.com. And if you go to the website, you'll see, you know, the normal sort of menu at the top. And under research, you will see insights. I write a weekly insight, which is published on Thursday afternoon EST time. And I do a market report on the Friday, which your viewers might like to see as well. And that again comes out in the afternoon EST time.
You know, some people are like, they tell me, because they, why do you follow gold so much? Well, let's see here. It's now a tier one asset. Every central bank, it not only holds it, has been buying it while they tell us it's a worthless piece of junk. So I think it's at the center of the monetary system, along with silver. And so that's, you know, why. And you, what do you think? And I don't want to get crazy here. I mean, where do you think the prices for gold could go? And we're talking, this is soon. This is months away, not years away. Where do you think gold could go? Where do you think silver could go by the end of the year?
Well, given that I think that the dollar will be destroyed by the year end, the answer for both is infinity. You know, because that's actually what we're talking about. We're talking about the value of the dollar, not gold. The point about gold is gold and silver are money, and they will return as money when fiat currencies have gone. And you better have some. So, I mean, what I've been doing recently with 100-to-1 silver-gold ratio is I've been acquiring some silver coins so that I have got some money to spend, which is not gold, if you like, which is the big stuff, in my hand in case I'm right. It's an insurance policy, if you like, in case I'm right. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm finding it very difficult.
I'll see how. Given the numbers, I mean, you're on the other side of the ocean. You're basically come up with the same premise. I know you and Hemke don't talk to each other. It's the same premise. They're going to get caught. They're going to have to deliver. The price is going to blow up. And then people are like, oh, they could just settle the contracts in cash. And they could do it one more time.
They could do it once, basically. And I think after that, the market's finished. I really do. I cannot see how the market would ever have the trust of its users again. And quite honestly, if we're talking about a banking crisis, and I think you and I have agreed that this is inevitable, if this happens soon, then there is no COMEX, because all derivatives go. We're talking about the whole banking system.
Nobody would sell their gold or silver. Nobody.
No.
They would just go, no. I'll wait, maybe next month.
Yeah.
Let's see how this sells.
And not only that, but the central banks themselves have been accumulating gold. And are they going to go and lease them to, you know, make the thing easier? I think it's getting more difficult for them to do so. I mean, central banks do cooperate with each other. And I'm sure that the Bank of England, you know, will sort of say, you know, come on, we must have some help, you know, blah, 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 blah. But I think central banks are now beginning to think we've actually got to protect ourselves.
Yeah, I was going to say, when do we hear every man for himself? Because isn't that going to happen? Are they going to look at them? Hey, Bank of England, you've got a lot of gold. Yeah, we're we're right.
I think it's happening. The first time, the first sign we saw of this was Germany repatriating its gold, and that was followed by the Netherlands. We have seen Russia get out of dollars, go entirely into gold. We see all the European, certainly middle European countries. I mean, okay, it's not significant, but you can see which way they're going, like Poland, like the Czech Republic and so on. You know, they've all been buying gold as and when they can. And I think that's a clear signal that they see the dollar is basically toast. They're not really going much further than that in their analysis, I don't think, but they can see that the dollar is not fit for purpose. And remember, was it 2 years ago, Mark Carney at the Jackson Hole conference said, you know, the dollar is no longer fit for this world because it has moved on. You know, this is not a dollar-centric world anymore. We've got China, we've got the whole of Asia. All these countries are now emerged, if you like butterflies from a chrysalis. And, you know, it's a different world. It's not one for the dollar. We need to address that issue. And I don't agree very much with anything Mark Carney says, but I think he hit the nail on the head. And the reason that he was able to do that was he was actually retiring as head of the Bank of England. So I think he felt that much freer to speak.
What do you make of this coin shortage here in America? I have a theory, and the theory is that's a treasury instrument, and the banks are hoarding the coins because that's a treasury instrument. It won't be devalued. And I don't know, you know, it's not like a Federal Reserve note. That I could be way off base, but what do you make of the coin? All of a sudden, we have a coin shortage. What do you think about that?
Well, quite honestly, I haven't followed it,
okay.
Greg.
All right,
so I haven't really thought about it. I don't think I can add anything to it, which is of value.
But what we do have is a coming banking crisis, and we do have a coming seizure in the markets, and we do have a coming kiboshing of the the dollars. They're going to have to come up with a new dollar at some point.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's the Treasury dollar, which people have been talking about, or some people have been talking about. But, you know, unless it's actually backed by gold, I mean, forget it, because, it's just the same as the Fed dollar.
And Donald Trump brought this up about on one of his speeches at Tulsa, actually. He says, Germany owes us $1 trillion. Nobody even asked him a question about that. I said, wait, Germany owes us $1 trillion. Is that going to be used as leverage? Remember that gold you didn't get back? Yeah, we're going to keep that. You owe us $1 trillion.
Well, I don't know whether that's true or not. I mean, that Germany owes $1 million.
That's what the president said. I heard him say it. Germany owes, because of NATO, Germany owes us $1 trillion that they didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That I think would be a very, very bad move. I really do think that would be a very, very bad move.
The press is so stupid over here that they Germany owes us $1 trillion. What does that mean? Nobody asked him a single question about it. Nobody.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. I mean,
he had a reason for saying that. He's not crazy, but he had a reason for saying it.
What's interesting is that.
What I was getting at is it's part of the reset. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I don't actually see that. That I don't see. I don't think that's part of a dollar reset. But what could happen in the scenario which I've just described is that Germany could come out of the euro and form, if you like, a sound money fortress, including a few others like the Netherlands, to join them with a sound money European base. Now, France has got a lot of gold. Italy's got a lot of gold. Those two probably don't have the necessary fiscal discipline to ensure they continue to run balanced budgets. If they did that, then they could join in with that. It would mean the destruction of the euro, which under my scenario is going anyway. But I can see that at some stage we could have the makings of a sound money system in Europe led by Germany. Now, I look at President Trump's comments, which you've just repeated, in that light. It would be a spanner in the works. I mean, it wouldn't kill it, but it would be definitely a spanner in the works, and it would do US-European relations no good at all.
And you think that we are in the process of this reset right now? We're seeing the reset working its way out in all of its ugly machinations, and at the tip of the spear is is gold and silver. They're going to be majorly a part of this reset of all this debt that we're never paying back globally, right?
Well, yeah, we haven't started with the reset yet, but I think at some stage, obviously, the central banks are going to try and come up with a way of doing this, perhaps without gold and silver. Now, whether they've got time to do this, I mean, for example, one of the things they're looking at is digitizing their currencies, you know, turning into a sort of centralized cryptocurrency type thing. It takes a long time to get that sort of new venture on the road. I don't think they've got time to do it. And I think the collapse is likely to be so rapid that in the absence of any other information, the best thing to do is to hold on to gold and silver as an insurance policy, just in case I'm right.
And you've been right a lot. You can find him at goldmoney.com. Alistair McLeod, as I said, a gold and silver expert extraordinaire. Alistair, thank you for joining us today on USAWatchdog.com. I didn't realize the fuse was so short this year. This year, big fireworks this year.
I believe so, yep.
And maybe by the end of summer.
Yeah, well...
In COMEX.
I mean, if we're talking about the banking crisis, I think within a month, quite possibly. So, I mean, just think what's happening to their balance sheets with nobody, you know, everybody locked down and maybe going into a second wave, but we'll put that to one side. And we forget that before this virus happened, we were already descending into crisis. So,
Good point.
Do you remember repos?
Yeah.
10%?
Yeah.
The liquidity crisis is already there. You could say that we are already in the banking crisis, and the only reason it hasn't emerged is because of the liquidity that is being provided for the banks to keep them going. So, yeah, it's. I'm afraid it is upon us.
Something like 35% of people with mortgages and rents aren't paying. They're not paying.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Absolutely. And in a sense, if everybody's not paying, why should I not pay? Or why should I pay, rather? I mean, you know, there is safety in numbers. There's the old adage that, you know, you owe £1 million to the bank. I mean, they put it another way. Originally, it was you owe £100 to the bank, you got a problem. You owe £1 million to the bank's got a problem. And I think we're getting to that point.
Yeah. Alistair McLeod, thank you for joining us today on USAWatchdog.com, the website goldmoney.com, the brainiac of that enterprise, along with James Turk. Thank you so much for joining us today on USAWatchdog.com.
That's my pleasure, Greg.